As we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, we're still in the 11th chapter and ready to begin at the 24th verse. The 24th verse is a new proverb. It reads like this: "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but attendeth to poverty." The principle taught here is that it is possible for a person to increase in wealth by carefully spending what he has. This is true of the blessings which God gives us. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 9, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." It is true in the world of business also. Not only is it well to use the blessings of God in the spiritual sense, but also in the temporal blessings. Many business ventures require that you invest in education, buildings, equipment, advertising, salaries, etc., in order to not fail in your business. So if we are truly following the will of God, all of our possessions are at His disposal, not to be wasted nor foolishly squandered, but to be used judiciously to promote His will wherever possible. In Psalms 112, verse 9, "He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever, his horn shall be exalted with honor." Again in Acts 20, verse 35, "I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Again in John 12, 24 and 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." So the Bible teaches us that we are to give, that we are to disperse, we are to share. But it's also possible for a person to grow poorer, both physically and spiritually, by withholding too much and unwisely failing to spend or invest at appropriate times. This would include such things as not paying just debts, not relieving the poor, not contributing to the Lord's work, not providing for the needs of the family, not allowing for the expenses or investments required to conduct your business. This tends to poverty, the Bible says. It inhibits the ingenuity in industry. It lessens the interest and destroys the credit and weakens economic ability and forfeits the blessings of God. No matter how much you save, if God does not give His blessing, it comes to nothing. Haggai describes it like this in Haggai 1, verses 6 through 9. This is the NIV version. "You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it." This is what the Lord Almighty says: "Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build a house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord God Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house." So we're to be about the things that are pertinent to what the business of the Lord is. We're to do the things that are consistent with what our true priority should be. So again, we read verse 24. "There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but tendeth to poverty." We're to use our resources in a proper manner, and this is not always easy, but the Bible is telling us here that we are to not just slothfully and carelessly invest our resources or give no thought to what we're going to do with our money, how we're going to spend it, how we're going to divide it out, but it's important that we do it properly. And the simple truth of the matter is that God is concerned with how we use our resources, how we use our blessings, and we also should be concerned. Our next proverb is in verse 25, which says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." A very important principle of God, which we so easily forget or refuse to believe, is that it is to our advantage to do good to others. Verse 17 says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." We need to have this fact impressed upon us repeatedly so we will live according to its laws. The liberal soul is what the psalm says. The general soul, according to the NIV, the soul that gives blessings, that prays for the afflicted and provides for them, that scatters blessings with gracious lips and generous hands, that soul shall be made fat with true leisure, satisfaction, and himself be enriched with more grace. He shall be repaid for it both from God and man. He that waters others with the flow from his supply shall be also watered himself. God will certainly return it in the dews, in the plentiful showers of his blessings, which he will himself pour out till there be not room enough to receive it. In Malachi 30, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord God of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." That same verse in the NIV version reads like this, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven to pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. And he shall be able to do even yet more good after helping others. He that replenisheth, as the clouds are which return after the rain, shall be further useful and acceptable as rain to the new mown hay." The more he teaches, the more he shall learn. When we use the knowledge we have of God, we will receive more knowledge from God's word. To him that has and uses what he has, more shall be given. So let's read that verse again, verse 25. "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Simply teaching us that when we do good to others, we're really helping ourselves. And now we move to the next proverb, verse 26. "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessings shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." Here we see what we are to make of the bountiful gifts of God's blessings to us. We must not hoard them up merely for our own advantage, that we alone are enriched by them, but we must bring them forth for the benefit of others, that they may be also maintained and supported by them. It is sin to withhold something from the poor because it is scarce and expensive and hope that it will become more scarce and expensive and make the poor suffer more. Here the proverb uses the example of corn as a commodity used in this way. It is a noble and extensive use of charity for those who have the power to do it to help keep the price of goods and services low when the price goes to the excessive. The proverb says, "He that withholdeth the corn, the people shall curse him." Here we see that we are to have some concern for how others feel about us. It cannot be good for us to have others to curse us because of our business dealings. Anyone in business knows that this is bad for business. Bad advertising is worse than no advertising at all. So the advice in this proverb is good just from a practical business standpoint. Some will say, "Well, I had a choice to make more money, more profit, so I do not care what others may say about it." But here we're taught to dread their curses and to forego our own profit rather than to have their curses. We are to court their blessings and to be at some expense to purchase them. This principle is true for all of us, regardless of what our station in life is. The employee must please the employer, the servant, the master, the maid, the mistress, the merchant, the customer, the doctor, the patient, the housewife, the family, the husband, the family, the children, the parents, and the student, the teacher, etc. Those that fail to follow this principle have a much harder time succeeding at the affairs of life as well as succeeding in the affairs of the spirit. So verse 26, we read again, "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. It's easy for us to see the practical side of this proverb, and actually all of God's law is this way. God's law is practical. It's the most reasonable and justifiable thing for us to do, and it's the thing that's going to be the better in the long run for all concerned, including ourselves. Next proverb, verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Those that are earnestly working to do good in the world will find favor. That is, they will be kindly regarded by God and man. One translation is, he that rises early to do that which is good procures favor. One who seeks opportunity to serve his friends and relieve the poor and put his efforts toward these goals will receive favor. All about love him, they speak well of him, and will be ready to do him a kindness. And best of all, he who does this has God's favor. Hebrews 13:16 NIV, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Psalm 37 verse 3, King James, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Matthew 25:34-40, King James Version, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Again in Luke 6:35-36, But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Again in Galatians 6:8-10, For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So the Bible teaches this principle throughout. As we do good to others, we're going to have good come to us. If we seek mischief, though, we're going to get mischief in return. He that seeks what is mischief, that is, what is bad, what is wicked, harmful, or sinful, is preparing ruin for himself. A proverb says, But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Sometime or other, they will be paid with the same deeds they are seeking. Seeking mischief is the opposite of seeking good. Everyone is doing something. Those not doing good are doing evil. Verse 27 again, let us read it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Next proverb, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Those who trust in riches will have those riches fail them when they're in the greatest need. To trust in riches as if they would gain the holder of the riches the favor of God, or would meet all the needs without God, will result in a fall. The fall will be as though a person laid their weight on a broken reed, which will not only disappoint him, but will cause injury. This proverb also plainly shows us that the righteous do not trust in riches. Rather, the righteous trust in God, who will protect them even though their riches may fail. The proverb says the righteous shall flourish as a branch, like a tree whose leaf shall not wither. Psalms 1 verse 3, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And those that take root in the world wither. Those that are grafted in Christ and partake of his root shall be fruitful and lively. This proverb is really talking about our priorities. What do we trust in? Do we trust in riches, or do we trust in righteousness? The righteous life should be where we put our trust, and riches are simply incidental to that. So we read verse 28 again. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Next proverb in verse 29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. It matters not what your relationship is to the home, husband, wife, parent, child, or sibling. When you're causing trouble to your home, the results are not good. If you are just cantankerous and quarrelsome and hard to get along with, life will be miserable for you and all around you. If you're an abuser of others, wife, husband, or child, you will receive no true benefit for such behavior. If you're an abuser of substance, such as alcohol or drugs, you shall bring shame and poverty on all about you, and eventually you lose the most. If you're guilty of adultery, which is unfaithfulness to your spouse, you're inflicting great pain and deep scars, which will last a lifetime. If you mismanage or squander the finances of the house, this can bring you to financial ruin. If you cause trouble to others beside your house, you're troubling your house. Whatever disagreeable behavior you may have, which brings you down, will also have a bad effect on your house. Genesis 34:30, And Jacob said unto Simon and Levi, You have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. This statement was made by Jacob after his daughter Dinah had been defiled by the Shechemites, and these two sons, Simon and Levi, had taken upon themselves to destroy the people of Shechem. After all that was over, after their slaughter was finished, Jacob made this statement, that they made him to stink among the inhabitants of the land. He was ashamed of what they had done, and what they had done made him look real bad. And so the idea is that the same thing happens to us. When we do something to make our family look bad, then we're really hurting our family. Genesis 49:5-7 shows that Simon and Levi still had to bear the brunt of this long afterwards. When the blessing was given, Genesis 49:5-7, Simon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. As a result, these two brothers were scattered. Levi had no inheritance in the way of possession, so far as a tribe goes. They were scattered. Levi did repent, and Levi was given the priesthood, actually, but he didn't get the possession. Simon was always an insignificant tribe, never one of the great tribes of Israel. So our psalm says, He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. He may be written out of the family will. He may have a tremendous loss of emotional peace and security. He may have offspring who will bring like trouble upon him, like father, like son. A life of trouble and turmoil in the home cannot bring peace and happiness. The troubler of his own house may be abandoned in his or her later years, when they need help the most. It may even cost them their life. In Joshua 7:24-25, we have the case of Achan. And Joshua, and all Israel with him, took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stone him with stones, and burn him with fire, after they stoned him with stones. So Achan had caused the whole tribe trouble by his misdeeds, and so we see what kind of an end he had. Our proverb further says, And the fool shall be servant to the wise at heart. The strong implication here is that the fool is the troubler of his own house. The trouble of your own house is to mismanage your own affairs, whether physical, spiritual, financial, or mental. Eventually this fool, the trouble of his own house will be a servant of the wise at heart. The wise at heart is the one who did not trouble his own house. He loved and cherished and took great pains to see that things went well for his own house. Rather than trouble his house, he was instrumental in preventing trouble to his family. His every action was designed to bring about peace and harmony in the family, to preserve the resources rather than to squander them, to bring the influence of God into the family rather than the mind and attitude of the devil. This person is wise of heart. That is, he uses the mind to apply the knowledge and wisdom of how to do what is best for the family. It is no accident. It does not just happen. It requires wisdom of the heart or mind. If you do not know how to treat your family, you need to learn how. Society is a poor teacher. The youth on the street, the carousing gang with drugs and alcohol would teach you to make trouble in your own house. Nor will the fulfilling of the improper sexual lust teach you how to treat your own house. This will make you an absolute ignorant failure in life when it comes to how to treat your own house. It is from the Word of God that you learn how to not trouble your own house. The Word of God will show you how to live, how to treat others, how to behave in a proper manner, so that you are a benefit to your house rather than a detriment to it. The family, the home, your own house, is the most basic of all the institutions created by God. To fail there is to fail. You inherit the wind. You, the fool, shall inherit the wind. So verse 39 says again, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. That's our lesson. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.